This is the MLWRadio.com network.
Welcome to a new episode of the Eastern Lariat Podcast, your show for news, notes, reviews, and opinions on the world of Japanese pro wrestling here on the MLW Radio Network. I'm your host, Striga, as always joined by Dylan, the man of the thousand nicknames, I feel like. There's always a new one.
I haven't broken out any new ones yet on there. And some, if you notice, I spread them out among all my shows.
Yeah.
On Tirecast W, on Podcast Tuxedo Mask, on exactly. Pure Heart, on Mr. Victory Through Guts, you know, like Zinjo. But the original was Soraro Neketsu Seinen, the sky blue, hot-blooded young man. And I'm here again. even after the originator of those names have changed their nicknames, Kotage is really not the pink, hot-blooded young man anymore. So, unfortunately, I'm the last hot-blooded young man in wrestling today.
That's unfortunate.
It's a lonely club, but somebody had to take the mantle. He dropped the ball, and I picked it up.
Oh, man. Yeah, well, we are here to talk about 15 G1 matches from Korakuen Hall. We had a Korakuen Hall triple header for the G1 climax from Thursday until Saturday. But before we go to that, I wanted to get in some news and notes of the recent days and weeks from other groups in Japan. And I will just run down these notes. If you have anything to say, Dylan, just stop me and intervene there.
Okay, I'll run in.
Exactly. Okay, so I want to start with Guts World. Guts World apparently is coming back. The promotion closed down, I think, 2 years ago, and then all the guys that were still signed with Guts World went to Heat Up, formed their own brand within the Heat Up brand, and that was named Going Up. But it's like 1 year after Going Up started,
It went down,
yes, exactly. And all the guys left Heat Up, and it was very weird to me. But now they seem to have formed a new promotion that is named Real Guts Army. Not sure if it's a real promotion yet or if it's just set of shows they are running, but they definitely brought up the Guts World certified six-man tag team title at a recent Ganbare Pro show. And they also plan to bring back the Guts World singles title, so I'm hyped for that because I was always a big fan of Guts World.
I loved Guts World when they were around. I was very sad when they went. Mm-hmm. But, I think the most notable star from there is Yoshino from Big Japan.
Yeah.
That kind of moved on to something a little bigger. And I use that term loosely because he never gets pushed.
Exactly. But, he moved on to the second match on a Big Japan show.
Yes, he moved way up with that one. Always underrated talent, though. Yeah. Great talent. So if they can bring some guys like that, they always had some fun shows. Even near the end of, near the end, they had, like, Manami Toyota on all their shows. It was a very, very fun promotion, I would say, for an indie group like that. The deep indies are sometimes kind of crazy to watch, but I thought Guts World had some really good quality on their shows.
Yeah, exactly. Another niche promotion is Triple Six. They will be running Shinkiba on August 10, and they will be having their arguably biggest match that they can have, because Yuko Miyamoto defends the 666 Openweight Championship against Shinobu on that show. So that should do a very good house for Triple Six, as they usually do, 666 fans in Shinkiba First Ring. It's always the same, Dylan. They have a very steady fan base.
I wonder how that happens.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so that's what I wanted to get in for Triple Six. Just want to mention that match, and also something that is very, that was fun to me is the booking bot that is loose in Big Japan Pro Wrestling, because they announced Daisuke Sekimoto versus Michael Elgin for the August 24 Korakuen Hall show, And then they announced some matches for the H25 Death Mania 7 show. And on that show, Isami Kodaka will defend the Big Japan Deathmatch Heavyweight Championship against Yoshihisa Uto, who pinned him on a recent Kurikan Hall show. They will have a match. The Great Kojika teams with Atsushi Onita to take on Masashi Aoyagi and Masaya Takahashi. An old man match held together by a young guy, basically.
Yeah.
Man. And then the booking board really went crazy with Michael Elgin and Masaki Mochizuki against Daisuke Sekimoto and an opponent yet to be named. What a match.
A mystery man.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of wild. When Elgin got let go of New Japan, I said Big Japan would be a fit for him.
Yes.
And it all came together. We'll see how this run goes, and I'm really excited about Uto getting the deathmatch title shot. I always thought he was kind of underrated in the strong division.
Yeah, you know, the strong division didn't really work out for him. He didn't really have the fire that guys like Sekimoto or Okabayashi always brought. I think the deathmatch division suits him more than the strong division.
I just thought he never got as much push as some of these other guys. I think if they had done more with him, he would have done good. I really liked his work when they had the Strong Climb tournament.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, like I said, I really enjoyed him. But deathmatch title, hopefully he can get a good showing in there.
Yeah.
In that minute.
You know, that's the good thing about Big Japan. There are two totally different divisions that you can try. And if you're not good in the Strong Division, maybe you're a great asset for the deathmatches.
Yeah. So we'll see how it goes for him. Yeah. I hope for the best.
Yeah, for Michael Elgin, it's interesting that he's now back in Japan, and I already heard that he will also probably be back for a different promotion later in the year, so we'll see what happens there. And yeah, that was what I wanted to talk about in Big Japan. 01 has their Fire Festival running, and on the Fire Festival final show, obviously, they will have their big tag match with Yushin Thunder Liger and the Great Sasuke against Shinjiro Otani and Tatsuhito Kaiwa, which is a very big match. And, you know, if that match doesn't bring them a big crowd for that show, I don't know, whatever will. Because they recently ran Osaka on this weekend, the smaller arena, Ideon Arena number 2, and they drew 312 fans for that show, main evented by Masato Tanaka and Yuji Hino. It's not looking very good.
I'm just happy we'll get to see that show.
Exactly.
I said that.
Oh, we also got to see the Osaka show. It's also summer writing.
Yeah. Oh, okay, good. Yeah. Like I said, yeah.
That will be...
I wish we could see more. They put them on their YouTube, the first show, but whatever.
Yeah, we talked about that on our last show. It's weird stuff.
Yeah.
In All Japan Pro Wrestling, they had a Kurikan Hall show this past week. But the show itself wasn't so much the story. The show was okay, I thought. We had some fun matches in the Junior Tag Battle of Glory that started out. We had a pretty good main event with Kenta Miyahara and Yuma Aoyagi against Zeus and Dillon James. But the news were really the announcements that they made for, first of all, the Atsushi Oki Memorial Show. We pretty much knew there would be guys from Pro Wrestling Noah coming in because Atsushi Aoki had history with both groups. And it's really funny how Noah and All Japan have such a shared history with one another.
Yeah.
And so they announced some matches, some interpromotional matches for this show. And the one that really stood out to me was Yusuke Okada versus Ippei Ota, Dylan.
Yeah. Like, I was so psyched when I saw this. I couldn't believe it. Ota was a former Noah, you know, young lion. He never really advanced. I think we talked about him a little on the Aoki show after he died.
Yeah.
But he was somebody that never really advanced past him. But, you know, him coming back for his old friend, I think is just an awesome story. Like, that's a great thing. And he was a really good, talented guy. You know, a lot of those guys, everyone looks at that class as, like, this failed class, but he was a good worker. You know, he was somebody that I really thought had a lot of upside. So for him to come back, I think, is a really cool thing, and I can't wait for that match against Okada, who is one of the top young wrestlers to me in Japan today. So that's going to be a trip for me to watch.
Yeah, we talked about him because we talked about Atsushi Aoki's debut match. And Ippei Ota, back then as Yoshinori Ota, was teaming with Aoki against Akira Taua and Mitsuharu Misawa on December 24, 2005, in their debut match. So that's when we brought him up, and it's really cool to see that he's back now for this show here. And we will also see more Noah influences, because another thing that really got me hyped up for this show was the announcement of the tag match, Jun Akiyama and Takashi Sugiura versus Naoya Nomura and Hitoshi Kumano. Very cool match.
Yeah, that is a really interesting match. I can't wait to see that.
Yeah, it's like we had Akiyama and Sugiura on opposite sides last year for the show with Kenta and Maro Fuji. Now they will be teaming against the younger guys. It's really interesting to see what comes out of that.
I guarantee you I'm going to wish that they have some kind of long run after that match together, because that team sounds awesome on paper.
Yeah, there will be a tag league coming up for All Japan later that year, so
please bring him in for that. Sugiura can have great matches with Kazuma. Like, I know you can do it with Akiyama.
Yeah, exactly. So that's that match. And in the main event, there will be a mix of teams when Kento Miyahara, Yuma Aoyagi, and Mao Michimaru Fuji team against Suwama, Shoji Ishikawa, and Shuei Taniguchi. Also, a very cool mixture of guys here. And for some of these guys, it will be the first time that they ever met, or that they will ever meet inside a pro wrestling ring.
Yeah, that's like a really cool show. Up and down. I think that's something I was really looking at. When we did our award show, it's like as soon as that happened, it's like, man, I said that All Japan right now doesn't have a lot of momentum. You know, the president stepped down. Weird stuff is going on. But after those announcements, I was like, man, this is some cool stuff to look forward to.
Didn't we also talk about that they want to shut down using foreigners?
Didn't I tell you how that was super overrated? Yeah,
because on this show we'll have Takuya Nomura and Fuminori Abe. Of course, Nomura Big Japan, Abe Basara, they team against Hikaru Sato and Takuya Wada. Also, Kobayashi is going to be on that show.
Yeah.
And they will have another foreigner in for the... Or foreigner is a different... Is a little hard. Guy from a different promotion. Outsider, yes.
Yeah.
Outsider. They will have foreigners for the Royal Raw tournament too, but an outsider for that tournament as well. And they announced the first round matches for this tournament. Kento Miyahara against Joe Doering. So Joe is back. Naoya Nomura against Sam Adonis. He's back too. Was in the Champion Carnival. Zeus versus Dylan James. Taishi Takisawa against Gianni Valella. And when I saw Takisawa, I only looked at the screen and typed down the matches and didn't really listen to the announcer. And it seemed to me that this guy, that looks like Soma Takao. Okay, Soma Takao is in the tournament. Because I only saw the red hair. Then somebody corrected me. Hey, that's Takisawa.
Takao, Takizawa. They both start with T.
Yeah. Let's not split hairs here.
Yeah.
Yuma Aoyagi against Kai. So he is back, Dylan. You're excited.
A legendary return for this promotion. He's going to win this whole thing. Unquestionably.
Of course he will.
He won't.
Shuji Ishikawa against Ruji Sai, Jake Lee against Suwama, and Yoshitatsu, the world famous, against Jiro Ikemen Kuro Shio.
Hey, before, we'll talk about Jiro for a second, but did you see his match, Yoshitatsu's match against Akine on there?
Yes.
Yikes.
That sucked.
That match. Yeah.
It was very bad.
Yeah, that was a very bad match, I have to say. Yeah. Not all Tatsu's fault, but it was still bad.
This match seemed like they didn't really have any chemistry and didn't really know what to do inside. At some point in the middle of the match, something didn't work out, and it seemed like they were really lost at some point. Then the finish was totally fucked up.
Yeah. Yes.
Like Yoshitatsu went for his Yoshitatsu fantasy, but Shrek didn't tap, and then Kyo Iwata counted the pinfall, even though Shrek's shoulder was up. It was a disaster.
Oh my god, Shrek. Anyway, hopefully this match we'll have with Jiro will be a lot better, but Yeah, Ikemen in All Japan. I told you before I didn't think he was a good fit for All Japan, but I think this will probably just be a short-term thing anyway.
Yeah, I think he will be in for the tournament, maybe upset Yoshitatsu in the first round to get another singles match out of him. But I don't see him staying for long because, of course, he had his WWE tryout.
Yep.
And it's really what he wants, and it seems like that they really liked him. Yep. And they already talked about bringing him in. So I expect that to happen like within the next 6 months or so.
Yeah, like that's going to happen very quickly. Like I said, I think he's definitely going there. And I told you, like you said, that's what he wanted. So good for him. He did good at his tryout. Hopefully he's excited to do that. When I saw this bracket in this tournament, because if you notice, his second round match is potentially against Kento or Joe, if depending on who would win. But I have a feeling, like I said, that they might just want to... You know, when I first saw it, I thought they might set something up where, hey, Jiro could beat Kento, and then somebody else could win the tournament, so they could have two title matches, and Jiro would beat them. But I don't think that's going to happen now. I think it's just going to be an in-and-out thing with this tournament, more or less.
Mm.
Yeah, but I think it's
who do you think will win the tournament?
The finals... just so happened to potentially set up Naoya Nomura and Jake Lee on the opposite side, so I think it would be one of those. Lee was in the finals of the Champion Carnival, so they could go with him, you know, to give him that next step forward, or they could even it out by giving Nomura the chance.
Like, I think it's either Lee or Nomura.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what it comes down to, and that's a good way to go, as you said. In the Champion Carnival, Lee made it to the finals by beating Nomura, and this would be the next story element for the two. They are now a tag team, but they are also kind of rivals still.
Yeah, exactly. So I think Nomura beating Lee in the finals would be what I would do, because I think that adds more to their story and evens things out a little bit because of the, you know, because what happened in the carnival. So
yeah. Good. Then I have one more topic I wanted to talk about, and that's the Takaya Mania show on August 26th. And they, at this point, announced two matches for this show. The first match that was announced was the main event, and it's the double Suzuki match. Dylan, you're excited for that, I guess. So Minoru Suzuki and Hideki Suzuki against Naomi Chimaru Fuji and Masato Tanaka.
Yeah, that sounds like a really good match. If Minoru brings it, like, and Maru Fuji brings it, that should be a hoot. And I definitely think when Tanaka gets in there, they're going to have some great interaction.
Yeah, and then they announced another match that has the potential to be a real hoot. A six-man tag match, a New Japan and 0-1 exchange battle. Yuji Nagata, Shinjiro Otani, and Yoda Tsuji against Satoshi Kojima, Tatsuya Takaiwa, and Shoki Kitamura. That's really cool. Kitamura is a good young kid. Yoda Tsuji, obviously, is very good. And the veterans, they will bring it. They will probably really take it hard on the young guys. And that sounds like a cool match.
Yeah, it should be a lot of fun. When you said the 0-1 New Japan exchange, it brought me back to their feud over 10 years ago now. Yeah. And all the violence that ensued from that.
And also, the Takaya Mania Foundation did a crowdfunding for the medical expenses for Yoshihiro Takayama, who's still in medical care and in hospital, and they raised over 2.5 million yen, which is approximately $23,370, and only 145 people paid for that. So that is really impressive.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. So, the match that I just mentioned was announced by New Japan Pro Wrestling on this weekend when they had the Kurken Hall triple header, and I'd say we go to this triple header now for the main topic of our show. We will be talking about the G1 Climax matches only, I think, because I didn't think that the undercards on this Kurken Hall triple header were all that noteworthy. Or is there any match that you wanted to highlight?
Nah.
Not really? Okay. Yeah, so
I actually watched them on one of these shows. Usually I skip them.
Yeah, I watched all of them.
But I did watch them. Oh, yeah, you watched all of them. But we don't need to talk about them. Then you know already.
Exactly. Let's jump right in here. The Kurken Hall show from Thursday. We had Kenta going up to 6 points against Lance Archer. in about 12 minutes. And this is one of two matches that we didn't put in the match guide from this show. The other one, of course, is Okada and Bad Luck Fale. I thought it was good, but it missed a lot, in my opinion. Especially because Kenta, in my opinion, was not good in this match.
He wasn't over.
No, he was not over at all, and he didn't do anything to get the crowd behind him, to be honest. Lance Archer really tried hard. He tried to get him out of his shell, and he called him Hideo and slapped him around. And he really was the perfect foil for Kenta to show a great fiery babyface performance, but he didn't bring it.
No, I talked about this match on the live reaction show that day. I thought it was an above-average match, and I thought Archer definitely was the one that brought it, basically just like you said. And it's kind of, you know, it's kind of a crazy thing that Archer is doing so well in this tournament that the crowd really got behind him here.
Oh, God. We're going to talk about that later with the Tanahashi match, yeah.
Yeah. Archer definitely has been a standout and a breakout star of this tournament, in my opinion. Kenta is still missing something, as I said. Just like I told you, I said this on the show, too. I made this point that everybody was saying, you know, everyone was excited about him, and I was cautiously optimistic, at best. But to me, you have to understand, in my opinion, you can't just say, well, Kenta, he'll get back, he's got ring rust. To me, it's been 5 years of him not being a great wrestler. Like, he's really shown me nothing that says that he's a great wrestler in 2019. And I don't think, and I think he's continuing to show that he's not, and he did again here. So I'm really kind of negative on his run right now, and I don't know how it's going to get better. He's wrestled some of the best guys.
Yeah, exactly.
Tanahashi so far. Kenta is not doing it for me, to be honest. But Archer, him getting over was impressive. And another thing, too, I made this point that Kenta, he is a Noah guy to a lot of these fans.
That would be the next point that I would have brought up.
Yeah, exactly. Like, the fans don't have that, you know, that history with him, really, of a lot of these newer fans. Some of these fans in New Japan might not have even watched wrestling, period, when he was at his peak, you know? So the Kenta that we know and love and think is so great, these fans don't have that knowledge or attachment to, even if they do. So I think that's really hurt him a lot. But his performances, like you said, you know, your point is totally true. He just hasn't won them over. If you didn't know him, there's nothing he's bringing to the table that makes you think he's any better than all kinds of people on this roster could basically have the same quality of matches that he's having.
Yeah, and some of those long-term fans might actively reject him because he's Noah guy.
Yeah, that's true. They might not even like him. Like I said, I could see. Well, the thing is, when Ishimori came in, he got a huge pop.
That's true.
And he wrestles a lot better.
Yeah, but Ishimori has been in New Japan for some tournaments in the past, so people might know him better than Kenta.
I don't think that has any effect. Like, everybody knows he's a Noah guy. Like, I think Kenta, like I said, if Kenta was lighting the world on fire and really showing a lot, I think he would be more over. I think at the end of the day, his performances are what is the problem. Like, but I do think that hurt. Like, I think, and when he came in, he got a good reaction, being friends with Shibata.
Yep.
They've really linked him with Shibata hard, which I think is kind of funny. It's like they're almost trying to turn him into a new Goto. It's like very leaning on Shibata, but not wrestling good, though, is the problem. And Goto, we'll talk about him. He's way more over than Kenta right now. Kenta's not doing great in this tournament. You know, this isn't. If this was a tryout for him, you have to think he's probably on the hot seat at the moment.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll talk about the Evil match later on. Evil is a good topic because he was in the next match defeating his stablemate Zanada in 18 minutes. And I'm really curious what your opinion on this match was.
Like I said on the show, if you want to hear my thoughts, always go to patreon.com/easternlariat. I actually like this match even a little less than the one before it. It was a fine match, but not special, and I thought they went too long. I really hated that Paradise Lock interaction.
What is that about? I have no idea what's that supposed to accomplish. That everybody now is able to reversed the paradise lock after like 2 or 3 years where everybody had no idea how to escape.
Listen, there was a secret meeting among the wrestlers before this. And they all figured out, they all met with Milano Collection AT to figure this all out. But to me, I'd be happy with that if it leads to Sonata not doing that move anymore. Like, that, you know, it's fine. It doesn't have to make sense. Everyone, because, in reality, that move is totally crappy. You know, like, it's awful. It's not realistic. I could never buy that move. So, sure, everyone can break out of it. Okay. But now stop doing it. And definitely don't have the other person attempt to do it here as well. The only highlight of this match to me, I don't know how you feel about this. You might like this a little better than me. But I'm not a fan of Evil using the ref as like an unofficial tag partner in so many of his spots right now. Mm. He's done it in a lot of matches. And this one, he used the ref to hit the Magic Killer unwittingly, quote unquote. Mm-hmm. Like, I think that was really stupid when he doesn't. So I'm not a fan of that. The big highlight for me of this match was when Sonata did the STO. Mm-hmm. And it was actually kind of even better than when the Evil does it on there. But the thing is, the Evil sold it so well. And a lot of guys now, he just kind of... when Evil first came in, when he hit the move on Goto the first time, it looked devastating.
Oh, yeah.
But now it's more like just a leg sweep.
Yeah, you know? It's a flat back bump. Nothing really...
Yeah.
It doesn't really look serious.
Yeah. And the STO, when I wrestled, the STO was one of my moves. So I'm heavily biased towards the STO. I think it's awesome. But the way he does it is not as good as the way Sonata did it in this match, I thought. So that was the only highlight for me, more or less. It wasn't the only highlight. It was a fine match, but my criticisms held it back, and I actually liked the first match better.
Yeah, you know, I like this one better. And the reason is that, to me, this was not one of those Sonata matches where he did counters because of doing counters, just for the sake of doing them, as we've pointed out on our shows before. But this time we had two tag partners in the ring together, and in my opinion, totally made sense that they were able to reverse each other's moves. And so that was well done here. And you talked about the STO. Sonata countered some of Evil's moves. Evil countered some of Sonata's moves. So that was good, I thought. The Paradise Lock thing was very stupid. And I can understand why you like the match less, because I sense a growing negativity towards Sonata because of that, what we pointed out before, that he's doing these reversal sequences so often in his matches, and a lot of his matches just consist entirely of those, of a long sequence of reversals, basically.
Yeah, so yeah, see, I pointed that out a few months ago when he was getting his push around the New Japan Cup time, and I think people are catching on to that now. And yeah, I get the same feeling that he's not as hot as he once was to a lot of the fans out there. But the thing is, I've always ran pretty cold on him. You know, last year in the G1, I thought he really stepped up, but so far, I really haven't been impressed with him either.
I thought
either.
He was much better against Ibushi.
Yeah, and Evil, I will say one thing about Evil. I'm surprised he's getting these such a strong push to start off.
Yeah, I didn't expect that.
No, I thought he would be an odd man out in this tournament. And both of these guys, really, but especially Evil, because I thought they built Sonata more with the New Japan Cup and the title shot. Mm-hmm. Evil really hasn't done anything of note this year.
I really have no expectations for those two, where they might go. They might go to 8, they might stay at 6. I have no idea.
Yeah, well, I think it'll all end up where they're both around 8.
Yeah.
which is kind of where I predicted. But I thought Evil getting a win over Ibushi is already way more than I thought. And him getting a win over Sonata, that's an important thing here, because that's something they can always call back to eventually. But they fist bumped afterwards, and that was it. Like, the beef is squashed, just like last year.
Yeah, just like last year. And everybody talked it up so much. As was, now they are really doing something with that. And no, they didn't.
No. This will all be forgotten about next year when they do it again, probably. Yeah. Who next will be the one that wants to leave? Will it be Shingo? Will it be Naito? You know, it
will
depends.
It be like, Bushi? Will Bushi be the new leader of New Faction?
Bushi in the G1? That doesn't sound good. I don't know about that idea, but we'll have to see. You never know with New Japan. They're full of surprises sometimes.
Yeah. So this match right now has a rating of 7.8 at Cage Match. And the next one was Okada against Bad Luck Fale. Okada beat Fale in 10 minutes. I hated this match.
Yeah, this was very bad.
And I hated this match because it doesn't make any sense that Fale is in this tournament if Okada is just able to do his normal moves with Fale. Why is everybody able to just hit a body slam? And even this reverse pile driver thing that Okada does now. Why, or this neck breaker,
yeah.
Why is everybody able to just slam Fale like he's not that big? He should be the big obstacle, and that's his only purpose in this tournament. And if that purpose isn't there, there is really no reason why he should be in.
Yeah, I said this from the start. Archer has that purpose now.
Yeah.
Like he is the formidable monster, and Fale is just wasting everyone's time in his matches.
It's bad. So let's
there was,
I don't know,
so much bullcrap in that match too.
Yeah.
And then like with Jado and everything. And I thought the finish sucked too, because it's like he just did his jackknife pin on there, and why does every time he does this move it looks bad? Like against Jericho and Fale now.
Mm.
Like this is a very simple move, and I can't blame Okada really. You know, because Fale's in there. And still, though, I didn't like this match at all. I completely agree with your assessment of all of that. But it is what it is with Fale. I wish Yoshihashi or one of these other guys were in there instead of Fale.
Jackknife Hold 101 was shown in the next match when Yoshi Tanahashi beat Zack Sabre Jr. in about 14 minutes with exactly the Jackknife Hold. And I thought this match was really good.
Yeah.
I loved all the technical encounters that Sabre and Tanahashi had. And also, very early on, Zack Sabre tried to flash pin Tanahashi, and he always got out. And Zack Sabre really threw a tantrum, kicking the corner pad, displaying that he's really disgruntled with his performance so far, being at 0 points. Great storyline with Zack Sabre Jr., actually. And I especially liked the standing fight for the backslide. That was really cool, how they just how the advantages shifted between the two guys. And again, as I said, some very creative ideas with the backslide. These ideas you won't see in many other matches. And that goes to show how they understand their pro wrestling, Zack Sabre and Hiroshi Tanahashi. So, very good match in 14 minutes, just around the right time for this match. This is not a match that should go 20 at this position of the card. Just very good stuff.
Yeah, I thought this was a great match. Very strong performance from both men. Zach, to me, has really come out, despite the storyline of him losing, he's actually been one of the winners of the tournament for me, because he's been one of the standout performers. And he's somebody
really
that I...
You were hot on him early on.
No, he's proven me wrong. Like, I'm into him in this tournament. He's done a great job in these first three matches. So shout-outs to Zack Sabre Jr.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, I have to say, I wasn't into him in New Japan specifically. I thought he didn't really bring his A-game, and I wasn't really a fan of any of his matches in the New Japan Cup or... anything like that, but here I thought he's really stepped up, and this was a great performance too by Tanahashi. As you would expect, I mentioned that backslide sequence on my instant reaction show. I really love that. Zach's doing a great job with his character, and this is my favorite match on the show. I like this even better than the main event.
Actually. Wow. Okay.
Yeah, I thought this was a great match. Definitely, this would be in my top three of the tournament, to be honest with you.
Oh wow.
Yeah,
I really liked it, but I actually don't have it in my top 10. Or in my top 5. So I have my top 5 right now. It could be in my top 10, but it's not in my top 5. We have it at 7.99 right now. And the main event is rated 9.24. Kota Ibushi picking up his first 2 points against Will Ospreay in 27 minutes and 16 seconds. And I was shocked when I saw that this match went 27 minutes. They almost went to the time limit draw, and I never really sensed that they were going so long. So, this match was about their injuries. And we don't know how serious these injuries really are, and maybe the bruise on Ibushi's ankle is already gone by now, and we don't know how serious the neck injury that Will Ospreay had, but they made us believe that they had these injuries. And early on in this match, I was really wondering if Ibushi and Ospreay had a different match planned, a match with more high spots and more risk, because they really took it really slow in the early beginnings, just being on the mat and not really doing any high-flying stuff. But then they just cranked up the volume and did incredible spot after incredible spot, including this reverse pile driver, the Omori driver from Ibushi on Will Ospreay, dropping him right on his neck. And also, incredible callback spots with the Hidden Blade in this match, the move that we all talked about after their match at Wrestle Kingdom. And they also did the spot where Ospreay was in the Tree of Woe and Ibushi was sitting in front of him and slapping him in the face, reversing the spot from the Wrestle Kingdom match. So incredible callback spots, great execution of moves. They really did some very hard-to-do moves in this match, and they landed them all so well. You pointed out the powerbomb, Dylan.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mentioned that. He did this kind of float-over move.
Mm-hmm.
And as I mentioned on the show, I tried to explain this in more of a technical sense. Usually, if somebody would do this, this isn't a brand-new move or anything, but if other people would do it, like 99% of the time, they would land and then suddenly have to readjust themselves to set up Ibushi for whatever, a pile driver or a powerbomb or whatever they're going to do.
Mm.
But Ospreay did it in one smooth motion where he landed. He probably had a little bit of luck for Ibushi to land like this, but it was so like freaking good how he did it. He flipped over, landed right with Ibushi between his legs, and immediately picked him up for a powerbomb and hit the spinning bomb. It was like all in one motion. It was amazingly well done from a technical sense. I thought that was just a fantastic move, in my opinion.
As I said, great execution overall, great strikes, great high flying, great fire, just overall an outstanding match. And Kami Goye brought the win for Kota Ibushi. And this is one of my favorite matches of the entire tournament so far.
I also like the Hidden Blade, how they set it up here, because he did it from the front this time.
Yeah.
It was, like when he tried to do the goofy version, like Ibushi countered it, more or less.
Exactly.
I like that a lot. And I like this match a lot. I think the problem is, what you said was the biggest flaw of this match, to be honest. It felt like they did all of this work the first part of the match, and then threw it all out the window to have this second, more exciting match. To me, it went, like you said, they turned it up. Like, the second part of the match was amazing from a moves perspective, but I thought they wasted too much time of stuff that really didn't matter or have any effect on anything in the match, really. If they had cut all that stuff out and just went with this, I would have liked it, because I don't think they built, on one sense they built it, they started off slower and then moved to this, but it's like, we're doing all this limb work early on.
Yeah, I kind of took it as they fooled me in to believe that they were actually doing this match plan because they were taking into consideration their injuries. So that's why I really was surprised that they then cranked it up, and that's why I really like that.
Yeah, but to me it's just like, well, like, the injuries don't really matter. You're still going to do your same match by the end. And they spent the first part of the match emphasizing the injuries, like, good, and it's pretty good stuff. Like, I thought the neck work and the leg work, I thought was well done for the most part. So then it's just like, well, we're going to throw all that out the window to do our normal match. That's why I like the other match better, because I thought it was more well built and it was much shorter too. But what they did though, like the when they really got to their stuff, it really was spectacular work here. I would say, and a lot of people were concerned about Ibushi as always here. But, I thought it was
people are always concerned about Ibushi, but he will do his stuff. And, you know, he's a man of 37 years, and he'll probably know by this point what he can do and what he can't.
Yeah, I thought the same thing. Like, how did you take that? Because you're someone who was very negative on him and Naito.
Yeah, when you talked about that match, we talked about calculated risk, and I think what they did in this match was really calculated. They didn't do anything that actively turned me off from the match. Instead, they did some very good stuff. The Naito match was something totally different.
All right. I just thought it's just a style, more or less, than anything. But I will say I thought this was better than the Naito match, just on a wrestling perspective, in my opinion. Like I said, I actually didn't think those matches were that great, but I thought this one was a bit better. Just maybe not, and like I said, if you're into these guys way, especially Ospreay, that style, I think you'll be like you and really love this match. But to me, I just thought it was a great match. It would be my top 10, probably, you know, mm-hmm. top 15. I'm not dogging it, but it wasn't my style, more or less, like the other one was.
Yeah, this show right now has a rating of 7.87 on Cage Match. This was day 5 of the G1 Climax. We now go to day 6. And this show has an overall rating of 7.74. And the G1 matches started out with a total banger, in my opinion. I thought this was Taichi's best match of his career.
Wow, even better than the Ishii matches?
Yeah. I was really impressed with Taichi in this match. I really thought that Shingo Takagi brought out the best out of Taichi. Because remember on the Kurikan Hall show the day before, Taichi did this horrible-looking buzzer kick. And in this match, his kicking game, I thought, was much more improved. He did this awesome corner kick, this awesome Gamangiri. And overall, I thought he was so motivated in his match. He was also very motivated in the Ishii matches. But I thought this brought out the total best out of Taichi, and he really wanted to impress in this match. He didn't do... There was some shenanigans in this match, but overall, he just brought a great performance, in my opinion. And there was this moment when, I think it was a lariat that Shingo threw at him, and he just got right up and got right into his face. It was amazing. Shingo Takagi, of course, brought the other part of the match. Also, I love the Choshu-inspired elbow drop that Shingo does. That's so awesome. And overall, just an amazing match. And it's really shy of my top 5 right now. It's right behind my top 5 match. So, very impressed with Taichi here.
Yeah, you know, and I said this on the other on the Patreon show. When you were trying to sell me on Taichi being better at kicks, usually I'm like, not really. You know,
he goes back and forth right now.
Yeah, but in this match, like I think I talked about that bad kick he did the night before. But at Taichi here, I even said it. I'm kind of coming around in this match because I thought he did. He was legitimately better than usual in this match with kicks. I have to give him credit where it's due. I think what held this match back for me, because I definitely think this is one of Taichi's best matches, but in a vacuum, like, never mind if I was just seeing these guys for the first time, I think what held it back was the early part of the match where Taichi had a bad control segment, and pretty much everyone I saw online agrees with me. The early part of the match with the mic stand and the Ave and all that bullcrap, I thought that really was bad stuff, and I was like, man, what are we going to get? But suddenly, Shingo took control, and the match got great. I said this, I think Ishii broke down the secret to the Taichi match. The more you hurt Taichi in a match, the it gets... Like, you know, don't let him do offense. Just beat him up as much as possible. And really, Shingo took a lot of control of this match. And when it came time for Taichi to get his stuff back, he really did a good job. So, yeah, this was a better-than-average match. Definitely one of the highlights of Taichi's career. I didn't love it that much on its own, but definitely for Taichi, he's overachieved in 2 out of his 3 matches, in my opinion. Because I think both the Moxley and Shingo matches, to me, are above... You know, 3 stars, 6 out of 10, whatever you want to call it, like that. Like he's in that era, and for him, normally he's like a 2, a 2 or 3, in my opinion. And like he's doubly as good in this tournament, except for the Naito match, which was the real Taichi to me. But so good. I was into this match, though. I thought it was a above average match, better than the next one.
I thought it was a very good match. 7.96 Cage Match. The next one, 6.67. Didn't like the match at all.
Yeah.
This was the one that we had all circled, because this is the match that everybody probably picked right.
Yeah, yes.
Everybody had to pick Jeff Cobb over Juice Robinson in this match. So, yeah, Jeff Cobb got his first 2 points in the G1 Climax. 13 minutes, 21 minutes. I thought they did a pretty good job, but the thing that I really didn't like about the match is I thought... Cobb, to get more over with the crowd, needed a very dominant performance. And this was just a back-and-forth match, and Cobb didn't really gain anything from that, in my opinion.
Yeah, I also think he needs to wrestle better. Like, that would help too, because so far he's like one of the flattest performers in this tournament.
Have a shot every time Jeff Cobb says, oh shit. You'll be fucking drunk at the end of the show, at the end of the match.
Yeah, that sounds like liver damage could be occurring there. You know, like, you know, you think it's a grind for these guys in the tournament? If you play that game, you're going to be the one in the hospital there. But Cobb, to me, is like, so where is Ring of Honor Cobb? Like, why does he never show up in New Japan?
Yeah, I don't know. Showed up against Ishii.
That match Ishii, like, that, like I told you, that match was going to get outperformed, and I knew it would, and it did. Yeah. Like, that was a low-end Ishii match. Like, I mean, it was good for what it was, because Ishii was in there, but to me, that wasn't a check on Cobb's box, more or less, because, like I said, Ishii in there, Taichi has had better matches than he had with Ishii, in my opinion. So, Cobb hasn't impressed me at all in this tournament, and I'm really not a fan of what he's doing. Technically, this was not a bad match at all. Like, you know, they did some good stuff. He's got good moves, but there's, like, he's so, just like I said, he's so flat in the ring that it's hard for me to really get invested, even against someone like Juice here. And I thought this was, I wouldn't say I didn't like it at all. I thought it was an average match, like slightly below the other one. If you're, you know, you have the novelty of the Tai Chi being in there and it being better than you thought. And the crowd was definitely more into the first match. But I think what they did wasn't bad. It's just Cobb is missing something. And I don't know how he's going to get there in this block, to be honest with you. Somewhat like Kenta, but not as good as Kenta, in my opinion. I think he's a very average performer so far.
Yeah, very average. That's the right assessment, I think. The next one. The big one, Dylan. I loved it. I was a big fan. I was a big, big fan. Toru Yano beat Jay White. Jay White is 0-3 against Chaos members now. Once again, Ghetto was out there with him. Once again, the interference backfired. We had a regular Toru Yano match against Jay White. I was a big fan.
Yeah, this was like double as bad as usual because Gato, you know, like I said, Gato did his shenanigans too. So, yeah, you know, like I said, I guess if you love Yano, I don't know what he brings to the table. Like,
I talked to André Cartier, who was on this show before in an interview, and he said Toru Yano is one of his favorite performers in the tournament for the reason that everybody pays attention to everything that Toru Yano does. He says last year he was watching the G1 Climax with friends, and he noticed that the Toru Yano match was one of the only matches on the show where people didn't look at their phones because they knew that something, the finish might be imminent. You know, and that's the reason why to some performers, and I've seen that from a couple of wrestlers, that they really love Toru Yano matches.
Yeah, and I know.
So I totally get that from that perspective. I just find it very funny.
Let me ask Davey Boy Smith Jr. what he thinks of Yano. I don't think all wrestlers may agree with him.
No, definitely.
Yeah, like I said, that one. But he makes a good point, but I think that could be accomplished in a way that's not, like, bad and stupid. Like, you know, like, I think if they just had quicker finishes on some matches, that would be really great. And I like that aspect of it.
Yeah, that it's one was very quick.
This was like a 3-minute match here. So, very quick stuff. I just don't like all the stuff with the ref. It's like, you know what's going to happen. Yeah, like I said, Gato made it even worse because he pulled the ref out. You know, White did a low blow. You know, it was your typical match you would expect, more or less. I didn't like it, but. Whatever, you know, like I said, 3 minutes, even though it's bad, at least it was short. Like that's the main point with Yano. Like, even though I don't like it, at least you can get in, get out. You watch the same, like I said, really, I already know everything that's going to happen, so I don't even need to, like, watch most of these. Like, I'm the opposite. I can look at my phone and I can not even watch this match and tell you what happened in it. I may try that as an experiment. Like,
You will take us through the next Toru Yano match without watching it. So yeah. That would be a good experiment.
I look like a genius when I get everything.
I guess the next one was right down your alley.
Like I said, I didn't love this one, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I didn't love it either. I thought it was very good. It could have been much better. But
I thought it was good.
Yeah. I thought Naito brought his own here too, because I thought that it was really well done that Naito was the clear-cut heel in this match. because Goto right now, he really has the fans behind him with his storyline that he has going, and Naito sat at him and did more heelish stuff with Hiroki Goto in the match, and I really like that.
I didn't like how Naito did all this good legwork, and then Goto just blew it off at the end again to do his normal stuff, to be honest with you. I also didn't like the finish. Why do we need two Destinos and one of them always looks better?
It really gets old because he's doing it in every match that he's winning.
I know, and like one of them is guaranteed to look way worse than the other.
Yeah.
For reason, like I said, it's like Naito, this is your move. You know, like, do it good. Like, I don't know, but yeah, they did some good stuff here. This wasn't a bad match, and I thought it was better than last year's G1 match. But definitely, like I said, they didn't have as much pressure. This was a little bit better, I thought, and there were some flaws though. Like I said, for both men, not just Naito, but I thought Goto did a bad job playing off the earlier part of the match. But the crowd was so into him, and he looked so fired up.
Exactly.
I kind of got into him anyway. But from a technical perspective, I had to mention that solid match, I would say. Naito, like I said, they're doing some interesting things with this block, and I mentioned this on the Patreon show, but my theory is that this could be something, and I kind of predicted this. In my predictions, I had five guys alive on the last day to the A block, but this is something where I feel like a lot of people could end up all coming together near the end of the tournament.
Yeah,
because we've already had White with three losses, and he's probably not going to take many more. Naito's already got two, so I think this is something where everything's going to end up evening out by the end, more or less, and be blocking. Saw it here with Naito getting the win over Goto.
I know, I thought it was very smart booking-wise that they didn't have two guys going 0-3 in this block, because that would have been just the exact same story for Jay White and Naito.
Yeah.
Now Naito might drop one more match, because Jay White has already lost three times, so the question will be which other match Naito drops now.
Yeah. Like I said, when I predicted the tournament, Moxley was the one that I circled. Like, I thought for sure he would lose that match and then lose to someone else. But he's already lost twice, so and two unexpected people in some ways. Although I had a feeling about them. Naito, you know, it'll be interesting to see where he goes in this whole block, really, because not only that, you have the trickle down effect, because now all these other guys have to lose at least, you know, two or three more times to make everything work, more or less. So it's going to be, like I said, I think everything's going to really even out in this block by the end, and it's going to be something where there's a huge mishmash of people on the last day.
Yeah, I can see that.
I think that would be kind of cool, you know, like if everybody was around. I don't think that's a bad story, you know, or anything like that. It's not unheard of.
It's a much better story than just two guys being alive and the other matches don't matter.
Yeah, exactly. Like I said, I think that's why I like it. Like I said, this isn't something brand new. We've seen it before where a ton of matches mattered at the last day, but I think that's better than just having one to me.
Yeah, exactly. So in the main event, Jon Moxley stayed undefeated, going up to 6 points, beat Tomohiro Ishii. I actually had this on upset alert because I thought Tomohiro Ishii would be a great contender for the US title later in the year. Yeah. But they didn't go the way. They went with Jon Moxley here. And I can flat out say this, my favorite match of the tournament so far. This was incredible. And we have it rated at 9.26 right now. Jon Moxley was unbelievable in this match. Tomohiro Ishii was unbelievable in this match. They started out right from the beginning with a huge chip on their shoulder. Both guys, actually. They went up right in each other's faces and started fighting out. So, just from the very beginning, you sensed that they both wanted this one, and they both wanted to show that they are the big dog in this place. And you know, the most amazing spot in this match, in my opinion, was when Tomohiro Ishii did the Superfly Splash through the table. So, this time Jon Moxley didn't use the table, it backfired on him. And he was put through the table by Tomohiro Ishii, who suffered the same spot from Masato Tanaka in a match in 2013. And that match was Tomohiro Ishii's breakout performance in New Japan Pro Wrestling. It was February 3rd, 2013, Curricon Hall, and they did the exact same spot in this match, like around in the middle of the match. Amazing match. We have it rated at 8.97, the 2013 one. And in the end, I almost thought that Ishii would get the upset victory here. He went for the vertical drop brainbuster, but Moxley was able to counter it. And basically, the match exactly played out as I envisioned it, just being a great fist fight of two fierce men. Amazing stuff.
I think the only problem with Ishii winning and why I didn't have it is that he had already won the first two matches. And like I said, they would have to, they're going to have to even things out.
Yeah.
You know, so Ishii needed the loss, you know, to you know, make him work, unless they just want to have him lose a lot the second half. But yeah, before the tournament, I actually had Ishii beating Moxley, but how things played out the first two nights, I didn't expect it. I just want to go back to something you said, because you said this really calmly, but let me just break this down for you. Ishii, the Stone Pitbull, Ishii, leapt from the top rope onto the outside through the table on Moxley with a superfly splash. This match was unreal. Like, this is my favorite match, like, of the year in New Japan, almost. Like, if I at the end of the year when I watched everything back, I could easily see this being my favorite. I just thought this was an unbelievable performance. And, like, just like you said, for both men, Ishii was on fire here with that superfly spot. I couldn't believe it when it happened. I never dreamed that that would...
I was stunned when that happened.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I never dreamed that that spot would come into play here. But he did it every once in a while, and I've seen people online say, Ishii, he's overrated. He always has the same match over and over. Wrong. Like I said, look at him here. I look at him here and against Moxley. He just did something crazy. And how similar was this match to his match with Okada in the Cup, Yoshihashi? All of those had different factors. Tai Chi, like all of those matches had different factors. Ishii is a freaking incredible worker. I don't care what anybody says. To me, he's clearly the MVP of this tournament so far. After this match especially, the first two matches I thought they were good, but not at that Ishii standard that I knew from last year. But then here, when this match ended, I was like, oh, it's on. Like, you know, this was freaking awesome. Like, I loved Ishii here. Best match of the tournament for sure. Moxley stepped up huge, I thought. And he's somebody that I thought, I liked what he was doing. I thought he did a good job in his first two matches.
Mm-hmm.
But here gets Ishii, it's like he evolved into his final form, more or less. You know?
They really had this game plan. They thought it out very well. They executed it very well. It was the exact right match to do at this point in the tournament. So, can't praise it enough.
Oh, man. Yeah, I love this match. I have two minor, like, very nitpicky critiques that I'll point out here, because I think I just want to be even with it, because I love this freaking match so much. The only thing I didn't like was there were two spots, really. And the first one was when they had the headbutt exchange.
Mm.
It went really soft. And, like, you know, to do that spot, you either have to go for it and make people uncomfortable with it, you know, or just not do it.
Yeah,
you know?
I get that, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, the way they did it just didn't look good. And I also didn't like how, to me, I think Moxley's Death Rider is better than the one he used this match on the rope. I like the one where he lifts him up.
Mm.
I think that looks a lot better. And I like that move because it evolved. And like I said, he evolved from his WWE version because it was just a snap double arm DDT. And here he did the lift up, and I thought it was a great finisher. But now he's doing this where he, you know, if he had won with it here, I thought it would have been perfect. But they just had to go a little bit more. Or after when he dropped the knee and hit the knee trembler, I thought that would have been the perfect finish.
Oh, man, that was such an awesome spot where he floated over right into the cover.
Yeah, exactly. Like, that would have been the perfect finish to me. And they had to go a little bit longer. So, like, that's a very minor nitpick. Like, if that had hit and they had done that, this would have been, like, the match of the year for me. But instead, it's just, like, the match of the tournament and an amazing match.
And it also would have given Moxley a different finisher. So, you would have... You expected this move with more anticipation the next time.
And a better one than the ones he has on top of it. I think that's been the finish, like the knee trembler with the knee pad down. Great ode to Regal.
Yep.
Great, you know, just a great move. So, yeah, that's a very minor issue, but I just wanted to bring that up.
Yeah. So that is the match, the main event from that Kurakan Hall show. And the third of the set happened on Saturday, day 7 of the G1 Climax. From the undercard, this time I wanted to point out that Yuya Uemura had a death wish in his match against Minoru Suzuki, where he started attacking Minoru Suzuki. Crazy stuff. I'm really happy that Uemura survived this match.
Yeah, I love Uemura. Him and Tsuji are really good.
Yeah, exactly. So this set of G1 matches started out with Zack Sabre Jr. defeating Bad Luck Fale by countout. The idea of this match, I thought, was at first very bad, because I had no idea why Zack Sabre Jr. would do this outside stuff. But then he got Bad Luck Fale into a triangle choke, and it seems like Bad Luck Fale is always the guy who suffers the count-out loss in the tournament, and it totally makes sense, because he's such a big guy, and he's not very movable. So Zack Sabre got the win over Fale, who was accompanied by Chase Owens and Yado, wasn't he? By two guys?
Yep.
So Zack Sabre outsmarted all of them, and they looked very stupid. Finish was good stuff. Otherwise, it was not very notable.
Yeah. Fale bopped Owens at one point. Jado used his kendo stick like always. Bad match, but I will say I'm glad Zack got off the board here. I thought he's been doing some good work in this tournament, and they kept it short again. That's the main thing with these Fale and Yano matches. Just keep them short and keep things moving, more or less.
I have no idea why we don't have Hiroshi Tanahashi versus Lance Archer in our match guide yet. But I will definitely put it in, because I thought it was a great match. What did you think about Tanahashi and Archer?
Yeah, I thought it was a good match. You know, like I said, really good stuff. I definitely think, you know, Archer again has stood out. And Tanahashi, to me, Tanahashi has been, between him and Ospreay, up there for MVP running early on. I think he's done a great job in the tournament, and Archer has been the breakout star. So I really like what they did here. They did stuff early on. Tanahashi went with, you know, stuff to drop kicks to the knees to try and chop down the big man.
Yeah.
Here they did some stuff on the outside with the barricade. I thought this was like the definition of a well worked Tanahashi versus big man match. I didn't think it was super spectacular, but I thought it was like a good meat and potatoes Tanahashi versus big guy match. 12 minutes. And I thought they did a really good job, both guys.
You know, what was spectacular about the match was the crowd heat for this one. Lance Archer has got the crowd behind him, this time as a heel in this one. And
yep.
The heat was insane for this one. The Curriculum Hall crowd was completely behind Tanahashi as he was working the bigger man, as you pointed out. It was the perfect match against the bigger opponent. He had to chop him down. Greatest spot in this match, or greatest moment in this match, in my opinion, was the struggle for and against the Iron Claw in the middle of the ring, where Tanahashi had to hold Archer's hand, and Archer's hand was right at Tanahashi's head, just about to reach him, but Tanahashi was able to defend himself. That was an amazing moment in this match, and Alan Forel on Twitter pointed out that this almost felt like a 1980s main event match. And I can totally see that. And I think Tanahashi must have really loved to work this one against Archer, because he's much more a fan of US wrestling than he is of Japanese wrestling.
Yep.
So, yeah, overall, great stuff, I thought, from both men. And that's why I just put it in the match guide as we spoke about this one. Lance Archer, as we said already here, he had a great match against Ospreay. He tried to have a good match with Kenta, and here he was the great counterpart to Hiroshi Tanahashi. And in the end, they kept Archer strong, even though he lost twice in a row now, because Tanahashi flash-pinned him in the end.
Yeah, he did the victory roll for the win. He went for the blackout, but Tanahashi rolled through. Definitely see where you're coming from. Archer with the old-school claw, bringing it back. Yeah, like, so I'm into it too. Like, I can see this being a divisive finisher for a lot of people, but I kind of like it, to be honest with you. I think it's kind of a cool, old-school move, and very simple that I think anybody can believe in, because this guy's huge.
Yeah, he has huge hands.
Yeah, exactly. Like, this guy squeezing your face, I think everybody could imagine that being a terrifying, you know, thing, more or less.
Totally. Yeah. It's very relatable.
Yeah, exactly. Like, this is a move that I think anybody can relate to in a lot of ways. So I'm into it, and I thought they did a really good job in this match.
The next one we have rated at 7.44 right now. It's Kenta staying undefeated against Evil. I had this at upset alert. I think I picked Evil to win this match. But Kenta did 15 minutes. And I thought this was a very good performance by both guys. Certainly much better from Kenta than against Lance Archer. I thought they had very good chemistry. Like,
yeah, but
it's crazy how he has had this great chemistry with Evil. They did great reversals. They worked around the Evil, the STO, a lot in this match. Kenta showed his usual spots, but also showed more fire than he did against Lance Archer, I thought. So this was right around the alley with the Tanahashi match that Kenta had, in my opinion.
Yeah, like I said, I think stylistically, Evil is a good fit for him. Somebody that can hit hard, pretty much. That's really what you look for in a Kenta match, to me, is Kenta just blasting people and somebody that can go back and forth with him, like Sugira, more or less, or somebody like that, Nakajima back in the day. Like those are some of his best matches, and I think Evil, obviously not as good as those matches, but he played that role well. And they did a fine job. This was a good match. I still don't think it was that great, to be honest with you. Do I like this one or the other one better? I might go with this one. Even this one went a little longer, had a little bit more meat to it. But they were both really good, both this and the last match, I thought. Definitely not bad work here. So Kenta showing a little bit more here. I agree with you. But still, not to anything that's turning me around on him, really. I thought it was just a good match and Evil took the loss here. And I think, again, upset alert would have been good early in the tournament. I thought Evil would be a great pick to pin Kenta and get some points for him. But because Evil beat these other guys, he had to, you know, he kind of had to lose here. And Kenta's going to have to take some losses soon, too. He's undefeated.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he will be facing Okada next. So there's that.
Yeah, small test there, more or less. But I think my prediction of him beating Okada is going to come wrong, to be honest with you, after this start he had.
Yep. Yeah, I also noticed that the crowd reactions were much better for this one, for Kenta. Yeah. He's really showing his cocky side, and the crowd didn't like the finish, so that's a plus for Kenta now.
Yeah, he won with the go-to-sleep, better than the Ibushi one. There too, so that might have helped. So good stuff.
Going into the Kota Ibushi versus Sanada match, I tweeted, I feel like Ibushi versus Sanada will be a match that people either love or hate. Can't see there being any middle ground. And if I'm looking at the cage match ratings right now, I was right on point. Because we have two 9.0 ratings, but we also have ratings from 1 to 3. So right now we have a current total rating of 4.83 for this match.
Yikes.
Yes, I was so surprised. So, yeah. As I said, I can see some resentment from fans towards Sanada because of his reversal sequences. And they didn't do a lot of them in this match. I felt that the match was different from a usual Sanada match, as early on, again, similar to the Ibushi-Osprey match, it was a slower pace. They took time in this match. I think they didn't do the Paradise Lock, did they?
Did they? The Paradise Lock?
I don't think
Let
so.
Let me see this. I have that in my notes here. I can't see it right now, so you might be right.
Every once in a while in this match, they did some reversal spots, but it was not as obvious as in other Sanada matches, I thought.
No. They did tease it with Ibushi, but Sanada put him out of the ring. He did the dive, after all.
Yeah, I was really surprised when they made the 10-minute call, because I thought the 10 minutes really flew by in this match. And in the end, I thought it was a very good performance by both men. I didn't really feel the match, though.
Yeah.
That's my criticism of it. I don't know what it was. Something was missing from that could have made it a better match.
Yeah, like, I have to say, I think I'm one of the rare ones, then, because I'm kind of in between. I don't think it's a 1 or a 9.
Yeah.
To be honest.
Like, yeah, there is some middle ground, because I thought I would either love or hate it, too, but I thought it was... It had some very good spots, some very good moments, and some very bad stuff again. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's to me, Sonata, like, it's not just his counters. That's an issue for me, especially when a lot of people were praising that. I didn't think that was... I thought that was kind of overrated and not, like, missing the point, more or less. Now it seems like you said, it's not really as popular. But to me, everything about him really isn't that good. not just to be quite frank about it. His look sucks. Like, I think he looks terrible right now. His moveset is awful for the most part. I think everything he does doesn't look realistic or convincing.
The what the most awful spot in this match was the moonsault that Sonata did, because...
That's usually a good move.
Yeah, and even if Kota Ibushi hadn't moved out of the way, Sonata wouldn't have hit him.
Yeah. Like I said, and like the skull end, I think he always does it poorly. You know, I just don't think
anything... it was a little bit more improved in this match than in usual matches.
Maybe. Like, maybe sometimes he gets it better than others, but in general, to me, he doesn't do it very well. To me, the STO, like, if he revamped his moveset, revamped his look, like, he needs a total makeover, in my opinion. Like, as a wrestler, like, as a look-wise.
Yeah, go to the LA Dojo, train with Shibata, get a different look, come back, be over like Goto.
Yeah, but Goto's still kind of the same as before.
He doesn't need a different look, though, so...
Sonata does.
Yeah, Sonata does. Like,
yeah. So, Goto did add that Tower of London move that he's been doing, which I think is pretty...
He also has an LA Dojo shirt now.
Yeah, the LA Dojo shirt. Yeah, great. Yeah, like, so that's not... Sonata doesn't need that. But, you know, I just think in general, like, everything about him is kind of, like, not appealing right now. And he's... he had a good run for a while. He had a unique look. He decided to ruin for whatever reason. And, like, I thought last year he had a lot of more fire than he's showing here. And to me, he's kind of a bit like Cobb, where he does moves well, you know, like some stuff that he does, not his moves, but just moving around the ring, his springboard. He's all very fluid in his movement. Not as much in this tournament, I've noticed, though, to be honest with you. Like, a lot of times, even against, like, I mentioned it in Zack Sabre match, it looked like he was super winded early on. He had to get a drink of water. Yeah. I was like, man, what's going on, Sonata? to me, he's like the super athlete of New Japan. And he really hasn't shown it in this tournament. I don't think he's impressed at all. And I thought this match was okay, but not special. I wouldn't say it was a 1 or a 3. It's more like a 5 or a 6.
Yeah, I would probably go 7. But it's surely nothing that stood out.
Yeah, like, this won't be a match of the year.
It will not be remembered at the end of the tournament.
Yeah.
If you're hearing anything in the background, by the way, there is a giant thunderstorm going on right now where I am. So,
Be safe.
Okay, yeah, I probably am. Yeah, be safe. The main event, Katsushika Okada against Will Ospreay. 21 minutes, 56 seconds, Okada beat Will Ospreay with the Rainmaker. What did you think about the match?
Yeah, so Okada and Ospreay. Going into this, they had a really cool setup, I think good build-up to the match, with Okada doing the Ospreay pose at one point. I thought it was very funny. He sent on Atomico, and they did the, like, Okada's lucha roots in this match. Like, see him do something, you know, something you wouldn't expect from him to counter Okada. Because remember on the Fantastica Mania tours, he did stuff like that at times. Like, he did a rope run arm drag at one point. I thought he did a great job. So in this match, though, Okada and Ospreay, I thought this was a really strong main event, I have to say. Yeah. Much better than their New Japan Cup match, which I think did deliver. I think to hear Ospreay right now, for whatever reason, I think once he got to that best of the Super Juniors, Ospreay, like, he flipped the switch and turned it way up. And I think it's continued in this tournament. I like that they did some cool counters here. They did some stuff where Ospreay went for this the Tiger Faint kick, but he countered it into the reverse neck breaker. He did some cool stuff here. They did some cool stuff where Ospreay would counter the Rainmaker pose and things like that. They went back and forth. Ospreay hit a coast drop kick at one point. I thought it was really nice.
Yeah,
and they did
very well timed too. Just at the moment when Okada came back into the ring, Ospreay hit him from the top rope with the drop kick. That was very well done.
Is better than Shane McMahon's version. As I say.
Wow.
Like I said, high praise. Like I said, that's one of those where you could probably do better than Shane McMahon's version.
Probably.
Yeah. You might have to dive headfirst into it, though, to make it frustrating. Ospreay did a shooting star press here. I love the counter to the Rainmaker. That's what I was building up to, where he went for the Rainmaker, and Ospreay turned it right into a standing Spanish fly.
Mm-hmm.
So good stuff here. It all built to where Ospreay looked for the Stormbreaker, but Okada turned into a spinning Rainmaker and then hit another one to win. So a good match here. A good main event, went 22 minutes. I didn't get close to the time limit, but I thought if you're a fan of these guys, they gave you everything you wanted.
Yeah, exactly. I thought it was a very good match too. Don't have it as high as the cage match users now, and they have it at 9.17.
That's a little high.
I'll probably go for an 8. Like 8 or 8.5 maybe if we had these half ratings. You know, what I really loved about this one is they highlighted on commentary that in the early matches that they had, Will Ospreay always was the clear underdog. And he had to show that he can hang with someone like Okada. And in this match, it was about beating Okada. And they portrayed it very well, in my opinion. And it came very close to that Ospreay really beat Okada. There were some crazy near falls in this match, too.
Yeah.
And he seemed right on par with Okada. That's a very good development for Will Ospreay, and it was a very good story in this match. And another one which was cool was that originally it is Ospreay that has the neck damage, and he did this tombstone piledriver on Okada, where he really dropped Okada hard on his neck, and Okada kept holding his neck the following seconds, which led to Ospreay being able to hit this reverse kick, this mule kick. It was a very good round. Some great drama, some great moments in the finishing stretch of this match. At points, amazing sequences of counters between the two. As you said, if you like the two, this would probably be one of your favorite matches in the tournament. And it is my top five. Barely made my top five for the top matches in the tournament. And this is the one that I had picked as a time limit draw. Okada beat Ospreay, so will be interesting to see what the main event for Royal Quest will be now.
Yeah, see, I thought Okada would win because I thought if they were going to do a draw, it would make more sense for Sonata than Ospreay. Like, so mm-hmm. I went with the draw on Sonata, even though I kind of criticized them. But I think the overall story would support that better because Sonata's been at this for years, pretty much, against Okada. And Ospreay just now started, so, you know. Maybe he'll just beat Sonata by the end of it. That would be fine. But, I thought Okada would win, and they pretty much played the match out exactly as expected with Ospreay. Again, the story being that, hey, he's taken a step forward. Even though he lost, it's kind of like a moral victory. I thought it was a solid main event on the tour, but nothing could beat Ishii and Moxley on this Cork and Hall show. That was my match of the tour.
Exactly. So, at the end of the show, Dylan, right now, after the seventh day of the tournament, what are your top five?
Number one would be Moxley and Ishii, sure. Yeah. Number two would be Archer and Ospreay, okay. I would say.
Mm-hmm.
Three would be Zach and Tana, as I mentioned. Those are my three that I've rated highly on that. And for the next ones, the next two would probably be the two Ospreay matches versus Ibushi and Okada. So, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I have a little bit of a different top five than you have. I have on number five, Okada versus Ospreay. Number four is White versus Ishii. Number three is Ospreay versus Archer. Ospreay again against Ibushi on number two. And number one, as I said, Moxley Ishii. So Ospreay appears three times in my top five. As you said, from the tournament of the Super Juniors on, he had an amazing performance after another. And if he continues to wrestle like he does in this tournament, for me, he's a lock for the best wrestler of the year.
Yeah, like I said. But why didn't you vote on that in the half-year awards, Trigger?
Well, we had the half-year awards.
That is true. Like I said, to be honest, ours was the same. It just switched out Zach and Tana for White and Ishii.
Yeah.
That was the only difference. The other four were all the same, so.
Yeah, but different places. For some. I had Archer and Ospreay on three rather than two.
Yeah, because that's not a match. Yeah, it was more, four out of five the same. That's pretty good, I'd say. I think those are pretty good, pretty good stuff there, I would say. So the tournament overall so far, we're on seven nights right now. Mm-hmm. What do you think of the tournament overall? Now, never mind just the matches. Like, what's your feeling on this G1 right now?
I feel the tournament right now. I think we're in deep G1 waters now. We're in deep G1 waters because it matters now. The wins and losses really start to matter in this tournament. We're behind the early stages where you will see a 0-3 record. Now you will see some deciding matches already. Some guys are already on the bubble here. With Jay White, for example, who has 0 points. Zanada picked up his first two. Ibushi had to beat Zanada today to keep up with Okada and Kenta a little bit. He's 4 points behind already. So from the quality of the match, from the quality of the tournament, I would say it has been a pretty good tournament so far. Now we're at the point of the tournament where we already saw some great matches. The great matches had been missing early on, but now we had them. So this G1 is picking up right now, I think.
Yeah, like you said, we're over a third of the way through it at this point. To me, it's still a little early to think about records or anything like that. I think there's still a lot of stuff going on. And like I said, really, a lot of the stuff is going to get evened out, like White going 0-3. He's not going to go 0-9. I think that would be kind of funny if he did. But I think things will even out with the tournament going forward. From a quality perspective, like you said, I think there's been a lot of good on this tournament, but the great matches were lacking. The Moxley and Ishii match would be a great match in any year, pretty much any tournament. And I think there's been a handful that really stood out to me. There were really three that were easy locks, and the last two I kind of went back and forth on. So really, they've had three big matches, but a lot of good stuff too. I think the last couple of shows, the Cork and Hall shows in general, have all been good. I would say, really only one show I would say is actively weak, which was the Night 4 show with Taichi Naito in the main event. Everything else has been at least good and enjoyable to watch, And a lot of these times, there won't be any great matches, but there'll be four matches at 3.5 stars or better, or something like that, but for a lot of reviewers out there. So I think that's something that you could look at on this show. If you just watch the G1 matches, you'll usually get an enjoyable tournament. But that Ishii and Moxley match, that upgraded the tournament itself to another point on my ratings, if you would have to say so, because I love that match so much. So they did a good job in Cork.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. So if I'm looking at last year's tournament, for example, day 7 of last year's tournament was rated 5.67. That was the show from Hachi Ochi with Okada and Makabe in the main event. Or nice. Day 9, Hamamatsu has a 5.95 rating from last year. That was main evented by Okada and Yoshihashi. This year, we don't have any show yet that was rated below 7. So that goes to show that the overall quality is very good.
Yeah, like I said, I will say a lot of these ratings are, the fans, I think some people, the New Japan diehards are really into this tournament. I saw that 9 ratings, 8 ratings for that Taichi match. But to me, it's still been a good tournament, and I'm looking at last year's, I'm looking at my ratings for last year's tournament because I make sure to keep things documented, just so I can go back for segments like this, pretty much. And I'm looking at it, and I'm seeing some more big matches, things I rated higher, but I think the overall quality is more more consistent in this tournament. And the A block 2, I think, last year was a little bit rough so early on, and that's what held it down. Here, I think the blocks are more evened out. And even with some questionable stuff in B block, there's still some guys that need to step up, like Cobb, Kenta to me. Kenta showed a little bit more on this show. But I like to see a little bit more from him. Sonata, definitely want to see some more for. But then there's guys that stepped up big, like Zack Sabre, Archer, and guys like Ospreay and Ishii, who have really just continued their momentum to the tournament. So there's still a lot of storylines, not just in terms of the booking, but in terms of how they wrestle that are going forward. And I think that's something that's always a lot of fun to see as a fan.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. So this one is in the books now. And as I mentioned, we will have a break now, 4 days or 3 days. We will return on Wednesday from Hiroshima. And then there is another break, and we have a two-show weekend on July 27, July 28. And that is probably going to be the point where I fall behind, because next weekend I will be in England for the Fight Club Pro / Sendai Girls weekend. So you will have to rely on Dylan for your G1 fix there. But we will be returning for another show in between, because we will talk about the Dragon Gate Kobe Pro Wrestling Festival. And I'm looking forward to that show. We will see how that turns out.
Yeah, like, so I'm really interested in that Kobe World show for Dragon Gate. So it's good that we have some time for some other stuff too. G1 will keep rocking along, and I know you're going to Fight Club Pro, but I'll have everything covered for everybody on the show. I will watch all of the G1 matches and give you all the thoughts and breakdowns and things of that nature. I'm looking at my ratings for last year, the G1, and I looked at that show, and it looked like a pretty weak show at night 7. At night 8, the main event of that show was Sonata and Ibushi, which that was the best match of that show. Yeah. You know, you had Ishii versus Zack Sabre Jr., Omega and Juice Robinson. Goto got a 3-star match on Yano in my ratings. I don't remember that, how that happened. I must have been crazy that day. Maybe I was drinking or something that day. I don't know. Yeah, but yeah, so we'll see if they can beat Night 8 of last year, made of it by Sonata and Ibushi. This time, B-Block. The returning guys, Juice, Ishii, Goto, and Naito, and Yano. So 5 out of the last year are in B-Block and main eventing the show. So we'll see how it goes.
Exactly. All right. If you want to send us any feedback, as usual, or Twitter, at Striga, Striga, or Dylan0Sky on Twitter. You can also send an email at japan@mlw.com. Otherwise, we will be back with another show next week for the Dragon Gate Kobe Pro Wrestling Festival, as mentioned. And for now, this has been it. Thank you all for listening, and goodbye.
Sayonara.
This is the MLW Radio Network.